Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
Hey, hello, welcome.
And welcome to the Movies Hate You show.
I wasn't ready. He just pointed at me.
This guy, he's got no improv skills. I wanted Mr. Reed.
I was going to yawn, and then you pointed at me.
Oh, I'm yawning now. Listening to your introduction.
Welcome to the Movies Hate You show.
Song by our producer Todd Sheets. Thank you, sir. Welcome to the Movies Hate You show. That's right. The show that's about movies, not the movie that's about shows.
That would be a different show.
That's a different show. Probably on Jackalope somewhere. Isn't there a guy on Jackalope that has 17 movie shows? Somebody told me that.
That's Urban.
His name is Josh Hadley.
Josh, we've had Josh on the show. That's not the guy they were talking about.
Yeah, that's him.
Now, who's the guy? No, I'm not going to put you on the spot. A special edition of Movies Hate You because Mr. Ree is here in the studio with me. Mm.
Yes, yes.
Welcome, Mr. Ree, Lee Peterson.
Hello. Hey,
what can we say? The mental oriental, Mr. Ree.
Ah, I kind of like that.
You like that, right?
Yeah. You know, first I got to say, Rob, I love what you've done with the studio. Okay.
Thanks.
A little heavy on the Glee posters, but I still like it. It's a look. It's, you know, you went a direction.
I like what I like, and I can have a Glee poster on the wall and still go to Chick-fil-A.
Of course, hello.
Now, those of you who responded to our Chick-fil-A episode last week, go to hell. I'm going to go there this week, and I'm going to take pictures. Todd, is there somewhere I can put pictures of myself at the glorious Hallelujah Chick-fil-A?
Yes, you can send those to me, and I will post them all over our Facebook and on our forums and things. We'll get those out there for you.
Movies Hate You. We'll be visiting Chick-fil-A. Mr. Ree is very angry. I can see it on his face.
I'll be at the Organic Kitchen downtown.
Yeah.
Saturday and Sunday, 2 shows daily.
I have to say that the only thing that this whole Chick-fil-A controversy has created is an intense craving for it. In my opinion.
It's awful.
All politics aside.
It's awful food. It's no good.
And those of you who commented on a few shows back, our Batman Movie House Massacre show, our apologies for offending you.
Did we offend them?
Because I said at the end, I said that I wish somebody would go into a horror movie convention with automatic weapons and not a movie theater. And then somebody took offense, somebody that ran a convention or something. It might have been Pete in disguise. He was very upset. So anyway, listen, if you go to the...
It's called sarcastic humor.
We had to get on the watch
list
somehow.
Maybe I meant it. Yeah, we have to get on the FBI watch list somehow. So if you go to the Movies Hate You archives, you can hear longer shows. Isn't that true? You can hear the unedited... full, sometimes hour and a half of Movies Hate You.
Yep.
Get over to those Jackalope archives or go to iTunes and hear us.
Download us
for free.
Yeah, put us on your MP3 player, in your car, wherever.
I listen to the show in the bus sometimes. Yeah. And I take that bus, sitting there listening to myself talk. It's the most narcissistic thing in the world.
As long as you just listen and don't take
that, that's true.
The Well, if a natural step farther.
If I listen, I kind of look over and I look at myself in the reflection in the window. I watch myself as I'm talking. So I've got the earplugs and I'm listening to myself talk and watching myself in the mirror, so to speak.
And do you mouth the words along with...
Is that gay?
I don't know if it's gay, but it's bi for sure.
It's bi by brain. That's what it is. So it's weird, huh?
Well, I don't know.
Now, Mr. Ree, you've never even listened to an episode of Movies Hate. You can't stand the sound of your own voice, much like the rest of us.
Well, thank you. I'll probably get that in a few minutes. I did listen to Sunday's show a little bit. I listened up until just before I came on. Mm. And it isn't that I hate my own voice. It's that I guess. Well, there's the truth, and there's what I'm going to tell you. What I'm going to tell you is that it's about the process and not the product. Like, that's something when you have kids, they teach you early on. Kids, little kids at least, it's all about the drawing or the creating of the artwork. After it's done, they don't really care that much about it. You can lose it. You don't have to save everything they ever, all their watercolors. They're okay. It's really, once it's done, it's done. And I kind of feel that way about the show. The real answer is probably closer to what you're saying, that I don't like my own voice, and if I hear my own voice, I'm going to be so critical of myself, and I'll just change, and I'll be hypersensitive. I don't know, whatever.
There are some shows I felt like, the early shows or whatever, that they weren't so hot, we're kind of just feeling our way around this whole thing. I probably wouldn't listen to those anymore because I would cringe.
Mm-hmm.
There's some shows where I'm so brilliant and a beautiful presence on the air. I mean, the people just tell me left and right what a radio voice I have. And they, excuse me?
Nothing.
And I just have to listen to them. I just have to relive the glory. But, you bring up an interesting point. It's kind of like movies. Like, we bust on movie fans here a lot because, they deserve it. But... the obsession with, the 1982 slasher film, or something, the obsession with Cannibal Holocaust. And to me, that's the same thing. They keep going back to the well, to that same well, instead of, I know people, and so do both of you, I'm sure, who say, they haven't made a good movie since 1989. I'm like, what? Like those people who are trapped in the, Pete, 42nd Street Pete, trapped in it. They haven't made a good movie since 1985. Whatever. That kind of, I get that. In a certain way, they haven't. But they've made other films that are great. And it's kind of like getting caught up in the destination and not the journey, like you're saying. It's the process is not as important as to kind of... The process is as important here. What happens when we do it, as opposed to going back and trying to dissect it.
Right.
So it's almost like the first time you see a movie is the most important time you see the movie. Anything after is just you've already broken the wall. You've already been, whatever that movie was going to do, it did it. And if you didn't get it the first time, because you see people say, but the third time I watched it, I really got it. It's like, that's like saying, the third time we went on a date, it made sense. Or whatever. It's either the chemistry's there or it's not right away. Otherwise, it's forced. Because you can read the same book 50 times if you were stuck on an island with one book. Read that book 50 times and have 50 different interpretations of it, if you really wanted to, if your brain is established that way.
Right. If it doesn't work the first time, it's a fault of the filmmaker. It's not the fault of the viewer.
I don't know.
If you're paying attention, at least.
Well, it depends.
If it's so obtuse that you can't get it without two or three viewings, then it doesn't work as entertainment, in my book.
Well, I mean, there are... failures as filmmakers, though, who just can't connect to an audience, don't you think?
Maybe as a separate point. I guess I'm thinking more of if the plot doesn't make... I'm trying to think of a good example of something like that that has such an intricate plot that after the first time, you're, what? What happened? Second time, okay, I must have missed that the first time. That isn't necessarily the fault of the person watching it.
Unless the film's intentionally made for multiple viewings, layered, something like Fight Club, where you could watch that four or five times and you still enjoy it the same, but you see things that you're like, oh, once you know the reveal, then you watch the film in a whole new light. It's almost like that was intentional by Fincher. That wasn't... There are near subliminal things. There are subliminal things in there, but there are also near subliminal things that you wouldn't pick up on because you're just casually watching it in the theater the first time.
Or Sixth Sense or something that has a very specific...
Yeah, right. Depending on the hook of the film, the kind of the, you know, the where the arc turns or whatever. Yeah, it depends. I think it depends. I think, you know, most people gravitate toward mindless films because those are the easiest to digest.
Here's the hardest part of being in the same room with you while we're doing this show is I'm nodding. I'm looking at you and I'm nodding.
That's right. You're not letting the audience know that you're in agreement with my brilliant talk.
Here. Exactly. It isn't a phone conversation. It isn't an oral conversation. A-U-R.
Todd, I'm afraid I don't ever want you to put me and this clown in the same room again. I want to do it the old way. I want to be alone, doing the show, and looking at porn like I usually do.
You have issues.
And I want to be with several people looking at porn like I usually do.
Yeah, where do you do that?
It's theater of the mind.
Library.
Oh, library. Can I throw out a quick story before I forget?
Who did you meet this week?
It's not about meeting anybody.
On the streets of New York. Okay. I'm going to send a text.
I did see Maggie Gyllenhaal.
With
her widow baby. Anyway, that's not my story.
You ran into Maggie Gyllenhaal?
And I forgot to ask her.
I thought she was blown up in The Dark Knight. Wait a minute.
Oh, sorry. Spoiler alert.
Okay. She was blown up by her pregnancy, obviously.
She had a baby. Anyway, speaking of babies, I'm walking to the subway today. This is my...
Pretend I'm not here.
45-minute walk.
Tell them the story. Don't tell me the story.
Okay, I'll no longer...
This mic is at least... four people that are interested in hearing this.
Excellent. I'm going to paint a little face on the mic, and then I'll be talking to somebody.
Have a feeling this episode is going to be about us getting used to the fact of being in the same room together. We're not really giving people their money's worth. Hey, wait a minute. They don't pay for the show. We could say whatever we want.
It's got to be fascinating. I'm on my way to work. I look forward to my morning walk. It's sort of my drive time. I listen to podcasts, radio shows, whatever on my headphones as I'm walking. It's about a 45-minute walk. You know, it's relaxing, etc. I'm walking along and there's a couple in front of me, youngish couple, 20s probably, pushing a baby stroller. And they're walking along and the mother is wearing, I guess, a tank top, maybe spaghetti straps. And I see on her back, I'm watching it from behind, so on her back, directly below her neck, on the sweet spot on her back is a tattoo, very intricate, very good tattoo of her baby, I guess, of a portrait, like a Kmart portrait of a baby. It's an excellent tattoo. Looks like...
Is it excellent? I mean, I don't know if that's the word.
It was an excellent job. The person, it was an excellent rendering of this child's face. And I'm thinking, oh, this is really, you know, this is kind of sweet. This is nice because, you know, although I don't have tattoos myself, I can respect a good tattoo, and I'm thinking, oh, the thought behind this is great because the kid will grow up, and mom will always have this tattoo of her as a baby. That's kind of cool. Now, I'm following these people, and so I've got 45 minutes here, and I'm staying, keeping pace with them, and then it occurs to me that, okay, there's a slim chance that this couple enjoys nothing but missionary sex. That's always a possibility. But let's say he's hitting it from behind.
Okay.
He's looking right into the face
doggy
of his
style.
Baby yeah. daughter. All right? You see where I'm going with this? It's a little weird.
He could have just stapled a picture of his kid on her back.
Well, if it's me, I'm gonna you know, when you have the conversation
what
with the wife, I'm thinking of getting the tattoo on my back. You say, honey, maybe... would you consider maybe like a picture of Drew Barrymore or something? You know, you like that Poison Ivy movie, right? Like something
maybe
nice like that.
Well, here's how I thought the story was going to go. Now, I've seen these baby. This it seems to be an urban thing. not to sound like a jerk, but the baby on the... Was this couple white?
I don't want to go there.
Were they Hispanic?
They were not white.
Okay. This phenomenon of having the picture of your child seems to be a Hispanic thing. Fine with me. But I've seen the kid, you know, on the arm or something. And if you see it first, maybe it's a good tattoo. And like you said, oh, it's good work, good artist. And then if you look enough, you see a little RIP.
Oh.
And then like a date, 2004. So not only you have your dead baby, you know, your baby died, and I'm going to memorialize my kid that lived for a month or whatever. So you have this little infant head. Have you ever seen those?
I don't. I would think a bumper sticker would be enough in that case. I
don't know what. I think you just want to move on, but that doesn't seem like moving on.
Is there any chance that the child's name was Rip, named after Rip Taylor?
Rip Torn.
Rip Torn, maybe.
Rip, right? Yeah. Yeah.
It's always possible.
Yeah. yes. Giovanni Perez named his kid Rip after Rip Taylor. Todd, I heard you have a tramp stamp on your back. That's
No, I had it removed.
You had somebody said you had like the skull face from the cover of Zombie Rampage.
No.
So when you're doing it doggy style, whoever is with you is looking at the face from Zombie Rampage.
That would be fine, Todd, if I was taking you from behind. I'm not saying...
Would you like to see...
It's totally hypothetical.
The gourd... Did that, have you ever seen the cover of Zombie Rampage VHS, which someone just posted on Facebook a big VHS score that they got in the mail, and Zombie Rampage sealed in the batch... Todd.
Wow. That's freaky.
Now, this is the split zombie face, Mr. Ree.
Right.
Now, imagine this face.
Yeah, we're looking at it now.
Right above Todd's butt crack while you're having sex with him.
What?
On his neck. On his neck would be, that's kind of where my focus is. So I would rather...
The back of his neck.
If I had my druthers, I would rather look at Zombie Rampage than I would my baby. I'm sorry, that's
you
just
would
me.
Rather
call me the old-fashioned.
But see, now, if you had two babies, you could take the Zombie Rampage cover and have one baby's half-head here and the other baby's half-head there, and your two babies could ultimately make one baby head with a big split down the middle. And you could, instead of Zombie Rampage, you use that font, but you would put their name.
The possibilities are endless. I feel like I want to find this couple again and explain all this to them. I don't think they've really thought this through.
I don't think they have. I don't think they've ever seen Zombie Rampage.
Maybe
Would you give them
that's
copy?
That's totally the problem.
Would you give them a copy? What's Zombie Rampage going for these days? There's one on eBay.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, stop. You hate talking about your own movies. Mr. Reed loves your movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't lie. Currently unavailable on Amazon, Zombie Rampage.
And he's like, the world is a better place.
It's ranked as 194,920 in movies and TV. Not in the top 100, but it's in our top 100. And the first review says, horrible. That's the headline. Come on. I'm just amazed I found it on Amazon. That's another one. Look at this review. It's like three paragraphs long.
I'm afraid to look at any of the reviews.
Half the ambient sound and the radio broadcasts were ripped straight out of Night of the Living Dead. Look at that, man. They're calling you a thief.
See, for Todd, it's the process, not the product also, right? It's the making of it. It's not what people think of it afterwards, necessarily.
No one realizes that movie was made in 1989, and we didn't rip anything off. First of all, Night of the Living Dead was in the public domain. Second of all, we only used sound clips as an homage. I wasn't trying to rip them off. I thought it would be funny because I was making this zombie movie that was kind of a tribute to the zombie movies I loved, and I was a kid, and I was like, hey, man, wouldn't it be cool if when he's in the car, all of a sudden he hears that on the radio?
How's Beth Belanti doing these days?
I wouldn't know. I haven't talked to any of those guys.
Oh, okay. You just kind of use them and leave them, right?
I guess.
Hey, wait, you're listening to, we're about halfway through, sort of.
Must be.
We're listening to the Movies Hate You show.
The Movies Hate You show.
Oh, I love that theme song. We got to can that and get that.
Yeah, you don't want to sing that live every week, Todd.
I know, it's going to hurt your
stressful.
Throat.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I think that you can get us at movieshateyou@gmail.com. Send your hate mail, send your movie mail, send your Todd Sheets mail. In fact, just send all your mail to movieshateyou@gmail.com. Don't even email your mom.
Your electric bills. Just
yeah, email
them
all your bills. Forward your bills. Forward your when your girlfriend breaks up with you because you spend too much time in the basement watching Cannibal Holocaust. Send us that email. We'll take care of all your problems here at the Movies Hate You show. Now,
dude,
someone asked me.
Dude, someone actually put on the IMDb for Zombie Rampage. They got quotes from the movie on here.
Yeah, why? What's wrong with that?
That's funny. They said the thing. It says, if you copy it, we'll send zombies over to chomp on your closest family and friends. It actually says that in there, and they put that on here. Oh, Lord.
They watched it.
They watched it.
Yeah, that's scary.
With a pen and paper, they watched it. Well, you know, once you make it, Todd, it belongs to the world. It's not yours anymore. Now, someone asked me, a fan of the show, who's also a friend, asked me, what does that mean, movies hate you? And we've been working on that for almost a year now, right?
Something like that. Yeah.
I think I know sort of what it means. Well, I know what it means, but I'm not going to share it with you. We're uncovering it as we go along. But do you read Cracked.com?
I do.
Cracked.com. Now, that's a magazine I used to read as a kid. It has nothing to do with that magazine. It was a Mad Magazine ripoff. That little stupid painter guy. Remember
yeah.
that little
yeah, sure.
goofy
I don't remember his name, but
Dutch boy looking thing? You remember Marvel tried to rip off that whole subgenre and get a piece of the pie, and they did one called Crazy?
Crazy, I had all of those.
They had like a Krusty the Clown
yep.
character?
Yep.
I'm surprised Marvel didn't sue Groening on that. But anyway, Cracked was a mediocre Mad Magazine ripoff, a little raunchier, I guess, for its time. They have a website. You probably know about it. Very popular. David Wong, one of their writers, writes this thing a couple days ago, 5 Ways You Don't Realize Movies Are Controlling Your Brain. Uh-huh. And he nails it. He nails it. Movies hate you because they fool you into a reality. They fool you into thinking. It's like everything. We had this conversation the other night off air about religion. We say, hey, I'm a good person, but I'm an atheist. Or I'm a good person, but I'm not religious. But that goodness has been influenced or is even defined by a universal interpretation of what goodness is that is based on religious upbringings and religious doctrine. Movies are the same way. Like you think, oh, if I get arrested, I get a phone call. There's nothing in your legal rights that says you get a phone call. When they read you your rights, you're entitled to an attorney. You're not entitled to you're entitled to shut up and not talk. You're entitled to an attorney. You're supposed to be treated with respect. Maybe, maybe not. You're not entitled to a phone call. Every movie, I want my phone call. He talks about this in the article, which I already knew, but it's like there are so many urban legends and kind of, it's mind control. It's mass hysteria. So if you see it, the way our subconscious works, if you see it enough, it becomes fact. And because we are visual creatures, it's even more so. So easily manipulated. Movies control your brain. More so, I say, the people who make movies have the ability to control your brain if they so choose.
I haven't read this list yet, so I don't know if this is on there, but the way violence is handled in movies, violence, even from punches, when punches are thrown, that sound, that's the sound of my hand and my fist, that's not the sound you hear in a movie. In a movie,
right.
It's a shh. It's
right.
A certain specific sound that sounds absolutely nothing like
a real punch.
A real punch.
If you've ever seen a real fight or been in one.
Right. But that is what we hear. And even in our heads, I think when we're thinking about punches.
That's right.
Because that's so ingrained in us. And even blood, for instance. Blood in movies looks different than blood in real life. And if
right.
you see blood in real life, it doesn't look like. I've seen. Recently, I saw a woman. Where I work, in a movie theater, fell an old woman fell outside on the sidewalk and cut her forehead open. And because this is what any wrestling fan knows, that your forehead bleeds just profusely, which is a small cut because of whatever, the nerves are very, the blood vessels are very close to the skin.
There's no meat there. There's no meat. You're so close to the bone.
So within seconds, there was a pool of, she was laying in a pool of blood, but it looked so fake because we're so used to seeing it in movies.
So what we see in movies, we think is real. What we see in real life, we think is fake. Very interesting point. Same with history. And this tells you, we cannot separate fact from fiction when movies have trained us. So if we saw over the years 5 or 6 movies about Abraham Lincoln, whatever those movies say, it says, oh, he did X, Y, Z. We believe that, even though historically it could be incorrect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even though every book that you can go in a library says differently.
Mm-hmm. Well, The Howling, one of my favorite movies, definitely my favorite werewolf movie, plays on that a little bit in that they're constantly making references to werewolf mythology and lore. And it turns out they're almost all written by Kurt Siodmak, who wrote the original Wolfman. He just made that crap up.
Yeah.
The full moon, whoever's bitten by a werewolf becomes a werewolf. Yeah. All that stuff. That's all that's fact as far as we know for werewolves.
That's right.
That's
right. Same with vampires. Fright Night plays with that a little bit. The original Fright Night plays with that a little bit, where it's like,
right.
there were variations on the theme, variations on the standard ways to stop a vampire or how they really worked.
Right, exactly.
But we believe, there are some people who believe this stuff is real, first of all. Yeah.
True.
But then we would believe, like, oh, well, you kill a vampire this way. Well, who said? Well, some book said, and, some fiction said, and, a few hundred years ago said it, or whatever it is, I think that really gets to the essence of why movies hate you, because they are so powerfully a part of our lives and we don't even realize how much we give ourselves to them and how much we give our reality over to them. They become our reality. Some people take it too far. Some people get obsessed with the wrong parts. But as stories, because we come from a tradition of oral storytelling, going back to something like Beowulf or, anything. We come from this kind of storytelling. We understand things when they're packaged as a story. And that's why the Bible is so successful. We understand things when they're packaged as a narrative. And that's why movies work. And they can convince you. How many times you see a movie and somebody says, oh, well, that guy, he didn't do that in real life, but it's been this dramatized version of somebody's life, and it's like, oh yeah, he did that. Everyone thinks he did that, although the facts are completely the opposite, or just never happened. The writer had to, give it some kind of drama, to make a feature film out of it. They take one event, somebody saves a kid's life, and they build this whole story around it. And that story, that's why you see based on a true story or based on actual events or based on, the based on is the key. The based on means it's not. The based on is that's the telling lie right there.
Right.
That's like Sam Raimi's new movie. Have you seen The Possession? Have you seen the trailers for this? I guess it's not a Gollum story, but it's like a ghost story. It takes place in, I guess, a Hasidic community or a Jewish demon, which we haven't really dealt with in film. So it's interesting. But the stuff in the movie, they look, in the trailer, girl opens her mouth and there's a little hand coming out of her mouth or something. And, there's this crazy stuff going on. And then you see, based on actual events. I'm like, what part? There was a girl who somebody thought had a demon in her. That's where the based on ends. Where does that... So people... Some 13-year-old watching that movie when it comes out is going to read that, not see the weight of that phony marketing line, and believe that that happened to someone. Believe it in their heart, the same way they believe, when they turn on the faucet, water comes out.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to believe that the little girl had a hand coming out of her mouth. Watch that trailer.
Was Tobe Hooper the first to just out and out lie. At the beginning of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it says something to the effect of based on a true story. It didn't. I mean, people later said, "Oh, it's based on the Ed Gein story," but that's total nonsense because it has nothing to do with Ed Gein.
But Toby Hooper never said it was based on.
No. Right. He just thought this would sound good.
It was attached to, yeah. And I think then when people started getting obsessed with Ed Gein and with the kind of the grave robbing and the wearing of the skins and all that, I think they kind of put Leatherface with Ed Gein. But to me, it's like apples and oranges. You know, what part of Texas Chainsaw Massacre is in the Ed Gein story, the actual story,
right?
The movies?
Nothing.
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 Not one piece of it. Where's the other family members? There were none. He acted alone.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the chili? Where's the, you know, where's the chainsaw? Where's the meat hook?
Right.
You know, he might have hung women in a garage or something to dry them out. I don't know, but it just, that's the kind of thing. Now everybody thinks Texas Chainsaw Massacre was based on real stuff.
It was a brilliant idea. I mean,
it's a brilliant marketing idea. That's the thing. And that's why it's still being used. And it's not just horror films. You'll see, you know, look, some producer reads a story in the newspaper about, you know, long lost love got together after 50 years. They were separated in the war, and it turns out, you know, some drama happened, and that was the end of their story. Oh, let's make a movie out of this. So, you know, they change it around where, you know, our lives are pretty common and boring, you know, as a whole for most people. So they add this kind of, you know, intrigue and mystery, and they have to add all that to sell the tickets.
Based on real events is my favorite.
Based on actual events. Or
that's
based
not even
on
based on a
events.
True story. Based on real events.
Right.
What
right.
Does
based
that mean?
On real
so,
events.
So
when,
vague.
So when a guy's walking down the street, it's based on a guy who walked down the street one time in the history of humanity, which is true. It's based
true.
On an actual
true.
Event. I just always want to see like I want to see somebody do like a really weird sci-fi movie, you know, or something, and it's like based on actual events, like Star Wars, you know,
yeah.
Like, you know, and that's, you know, Lucas is kind of playing with that when he says a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. He's playing on it as if, oh, this is like a historical thing.
Right. And that was a brilliant move too, because up to that point, and even now, we think of science fiction as being something in the future. And
right.
That it just sort of threw you off kilter when
completely.
You first see that. What do you mean a long time ago?
Right.
This is space and
right.
spaceships and stuff. It has to be in the future.
Right, but it could have been history for some other universe somewhere. That's
yeah.
the idea.
Yeah.
I always thought it like when I was younger that it was the movie was intended to be shown to audiences in the future. So in other words, that movie should not have been screened until like the year 4000, and this stuff happened in like the year, you know, 3000. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was almost like it's meta in a way because
yeah.
it's a movie intended for an audience that doesn't even exist yet.
Mm.
It's almost like a historical document for future generations from now.
Yeah.
So like in the year 5000, somebody would watch that, and that stuff would be antiquated.
Now the other side of the coin, specifically with the Academy Awards, I don't get this, and it's probably just some weird wording of the for some reason, the way they break down the adapted screenplay and the original screenplay,
right?
There's some kind of rules about it,
right?
But you'll see, and this happens more and more. You'll see a biopic, like the
yeah.
Ali movie,
yeah.
will get a nomination for original screenplay. So how could it be an original screenplay? This actually happened. It's all based on true recounts. It has to be based on something because it actually happened.
But it wasn't an adaptation of a book.
Of specifically one book, but it is the information that happened in that movie came from sources, is what I'm saying. It isn't original. The guy didn't just dream it up.
Well, right, but what if it all came from Ali? What if they interviewed Ali and based and then checked the facts, but then based that script on Ali's testimonials to the writers?
Wouldn't that make it adapted? It seems like
it wouldn't be
adapted from real life.
My...
It's adapted from something that actually happened. That,
no, but doesn't
public
it
public record too?
Yeah, but doesn't something have to be adapted from an actual like solid thing?
It
in
has
other words,
to be,
if I did a play, that's an actual piece of literature. That's an actual piece of art, and then I can adapt from that. But I can't. If that play happened to be based on someone's life, I can either adapt the play and the way that writer or those people kind of chose to tell the story, I can adapt that to film, or I can go back to the original source and pay the person whose life story the play was based on, pay them for their story, and then make an original screenplay. I think that's how it works.
Right. I think it is. It's probably has to do with the legalities of the copyright.
Layers of art. It's almost like layers of art. So you can have a video game that's based on a TV show, but then someone can make a movie based on that video game. It's still adapted from characters originally created by the people who did the TV show.
Right.
But then they would have to also credit if they took any scenarios or dialogue or characters that were either enhanced or created for the video game adaption, they would have to credit them too.
And that's, yeah, and a good example of why none of this makes any sense to me is the Addams Family. You've got the original cartoons, which they weren't even named the Addams Family. None of the characters had names. But then for the television series in the 60s, they came up with names for everybody. They came up with the
right.
theme song and everything.
Right.
That was all taken from the movie, the first movie series with Raul Julia. But in the credits, they never credit the television show. They credit Charles Addams and mm-hmm. the original cartoons, which it seems like they ought to be crediting the people who came up with the... I think in this case it was actually Charles Addams who came up with the names because they asked him to. He was involved with the TV series.
He was involved with the TV series. Also, who owned the TV series? Who's the studio?
I don't remember. Was it Desilu? I don't remember.
I don't know. But maybe whoever made the movie, also, like if you know, let's say Warner Television made the TV show and Warner decided to make a movie, they don't have to credit themselves, you know, unless a writer or producer or somebody fought for the credit for additional dialogue or, you know what I mean, whatever. Like if you were credited and paid or rewarded somehow for your contributions to something that evolved creatively, then if that's on paper legally, then you have to be credited.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you'll see, like, you know, you'll watch Hellraiser 7. And has nothing to do with Clive Barker, but it always has to legally say, based on original characters created by Clive Barker.
Right.
Now, that thing's so far removed from Clive Barker that, you know, he probably doesn't even know what number they're up to, and it's his stuff.
Right.
So, but because he originated that, and throughout the years people have bought and sold the rights to that franchise, that property... somewhere in that contract, he always has to be credited as creating those characters, although he had nothing to do with creating that film.
Right. If there's a Cenobite anywhere in the
movie.
If
there's a Cenobite in the movie, he gets his credit. I'm sure he gets a fee, a royalty or a flat payment for use of his characters.
Right. Then there are examples, too, and I guess, I mean, anybody who's in show business probably knows a million stories like this. I only know a couple, but a good friend of mine wrote the film Galaxy Quest. Fantastic movie. Star Trek.
Your
spoof.
Friend wrote Galaxy Quest.
My friend wrote Galaxy Quest.
And
I
you're
went to
not
college
in
with him. I'm not in it.
You would have been a good one of those little nerdy little aliens that they helped.
He did write me into a different movie of his, but that's a separate.
But that was
an
adult film.
He wrote a movie called Addicted to Love and named one of the characters after me.
Okay.
However, but the thing with Galaxy Quest is my friend Bob wrote this movie. Completely original screenplay because he's a science fiction fan. It turns out that the company, I can't remember which company it was, had a script from someone else that was only vaguely similar. I won't go into the details of what was different about it, but it's a completely different story. I think in this case, the guy got knocked on the head and thought he was the character that he played originally in a sci-fi movie, which is different from Galaxy Quest, which is where the aliens think that
they're real.
They're real. They were the TV stars
right.
of the sci-fi, Star Trek kind of show. They think they're the real real space guys, and they ask them to help save their planet. It turns out, just because they were so afraid of litigation from this guy, and I've read both scripts, absolutely nothing to do with each other. Bob didn't even know about this other script when he wrote Galaxy Quest. But because they were so afraid of litigation, they gave this other guy equal credit. So if you look at the movie, it looks like Bob wrote it with another person. Totally untrue. Never met this guy. The guy had no input whatsoever in this script. He wrote a script, Return of Captain Invincible or something like that.
The Alan Arkin film?
No, I'm confusing it. Captain Starshine, I think might be it. I don't know if it's online. You might be able to find it, read it. Unproduced, but that's an example of you see the movie and you think, oh, well, two guys wrote this.
Right.
Not true.
They never even met. So the studio bought that other script and gave this guy credit just to shut him down.
Just so he would...
So they would own it and not sue.
And if it had it gone through the legal channels, I'm sure the guy would have had no case because you could pick it apart. But they didn't want to... It was cheaper for them to
give that guy $20,000
exactly,
than to pay $150 in legal fees and a credit.
Story by credit.
And they don't care. Yeah, they don't care about your friend's credit. They'll ruin that thing as quick as they can. Yeah, it's all about avoiding litigation.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they looked into, can we be sued by Star Trek, Roddenberry? Can we be sued, because it's very similar. Mm-hmm. It's basically Star Trek. Mm-hmm. I'm positive that there was a lot of problems there.
They had to clear everything.
Yeah.
I don't remember, maybe it was Paramount, maybe they owned it.
Maybe it was.
And that would have been the easy way. But
that would have been the easy
way. I mean, it's certainly affectionate. There's nothing...
No, but still, they're making money off of basically...
Right.
Property.
Right.
It's like if we did a Batman spoof. If it was close enough, if Todd Sheets decided to do a Batman spoof, it's close enough. That's why a lot of these fan films get shut down.
Although, isn't it true that they've ruled that parody, I know that I think we've even talked about this before, but the adult films, there's a whole line of Hustler Video,
Wicked, or is it? I forget, there's another big, it's not just Hustler, there's another, I mean, some of these are crazy. You watch the trailers for these things?
They're rip-offs, they use the same music, everything.
Close the costumes enough. And that's why it's always like, it's not the Avengers XXX. It literally says the title is not the Avengers XXX spoof.
Yeah.
They're like, the name of the movie is the legal disclaimer.
Right.
Which is fascinating.
Right.
And those are the hottest thing right now.
And that's legal? It must be legal or they would have been shut down years ago. I mean, there's a Seinfeld one.
Yeah, Three Stooges just came out. Three Stooges. I know you're going to see.
Yeah, I'll be running.
Yeah, can't wait to see those guys. There was I interviewed an old friend of mine who wrote the Golden Girls XXX porn spoof. Look it up; it exists. And she wrote a couple other ones too. Yeah. Female writer, a comedian, make some bread on the side. Had a friend who was into this stuff. Sure. And did a Golden Girls porn, and that was the first question. Was like, who wants to see the Golden Girls have sex? But of course, they were all like hot MILFs.
Under the wigs
of the Golden Girls. So, I think once their clothes came off, you're like, well, it's not as wrinkled as I thought it would be. So I'll sit and watch it.
Yeah.
But there's somebody out there who wanted to see that.
I got to tell you, there's one...
Who's the boss? I mean, they got everything. Every sitcom, Gilligan's Island, everything.
There's a Batman one, Batman the 60s series, the TV series, and...
It is excellent.
Yeah. It is so excellent.
Dead on to the 60s series.
It works on every level. Even the sex is hot. It's actually...
Yeah.
It actually works. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Todd just woke up.
Did you see that? Todd?
I wouldn't watch that if someone paid me $300 to sit there and watch it.
Enough with you. What is this? What is this pseudo-morality crap?
There's no pseudo.
Is this
some
like
things should be sacred, and Batman should be one of those sacred things.
Is this a brain disease from the Midwest or something that there's like almost this like morality attached to you don't want to watch Batman have sex? Come on,
man! What the hell?
What does do Batman and Robin have sex?
Get out of here!
No! It's
not
perfect.
A bi
it's,
film.
No, it's perfectly. There is. I don't want to get into too gory details here, but there is. Batman and Robin and Catwoman are in a scene together,
so.
Of course.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's they're
bastards.
careful that, you know, they use the Dutch angles of the series. The colors are right.
No crossing swords. No.
No, yeah. the color. The costumes are fantastic.
Let me ask you, when there's like a finishing, when the, let's say the man finishes or the woman has a, is there like a pow or a bang?
You know, that's no.
They're not having a good time.
They did mess up. There are a couple of fight scenes, though, and they do use the pows and the bong.
Is Ron Jeremy in it?
You know what? He would have been perfect as the Penguin, obviously, but they missed out.
Who's the villain?
There's the
people
Riddler.
Who made it are the damn villain.
Oh!
Oh, Todd, I'm going to send you a copy of that thing.
The Joker. I think the Joker even... I could be just making this up because it's a better story, but I think the guy who plays the Joker... even has a mustache, which they painted
underneath the clown paint. Caesar Romero,
yes,
which I always thought was brilliant.
Because Caesar was so vain, he refused to shave his mustache when he got the role. It's amazing.
I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I don't blame him. You don't get a mustache like that overnight.
It takes 2 weeks. You're right.
Let me tell you, there's been a station playing the original 60s Batman series. That show is so good, and it holds up. Mm-hmm. It is so fun. It's like a palate cleanser from seeing these Nolan films and all this like obsession with the darkness to watch Batman as kind of like a classic superhero, just a guy in tights, silly, running around, just fighting evil, you know? It's really good. Yeah. Not like an evil kind of middle of the road, almost evil kind of guy fighting other more evil guys.
Yeah, I've been watching them recently with my kids.
Do you agree, Todd? Do you agree with what I have to say about that?
No.
My Bane voice from the new movie.
Dude, that's not a very good Bane.
Unrecognizable.
You have to talk like this. You have to get the gravel in your voice.
Right, exactly. There you go. You do it good.
I am the League of Shadows.
Yeah, wow. That's almost like he's playing clips from the film when he does that.
You got a soundboard over there, Todd?
I don't.
Unfortunately, when I went to see it, it sounded like this. Wow, there's no legal throttle Gotham. That's what it sounded like.
I did notice, if you're not in the theater with a great sound system, it's difficult because of the bass tones. I talked to the projectionist, and he said, well, when they did this thing and they mastered it out, it's got these incredible bass tones, and if the speakers there don't handle those well, it drowns out things. You're absolutely right.
Also, it's overdubbed, so Bane's voice during the film is actually louder.
Not entirely, Mr. Wayne.
So it sounded like an Italian dubbing job. You know, it sounded like a real bad Italian. Now, why did they take his mask off?
Why would they do that? He would die.
No, but I'm saying, does he ever get his mask? You know, nobody knows what this guy looks like.
That's the point.
In the porno, he will, I'm sure.
Ah! Yeah. He's called Bone, not Bane. In the porno.
And it is called The Dark Knight Rises, though, the porno, I believe.
Ah!
Same title.
It's all puns intended. That is but, you know, the movie, Todd, was better than the second one, this new Dark Knight Rises, but yet it was flawed, but I appreciated it. And Hathaway and, what's his name, Gordon Levitt, right? They're very good in it. I wasn't expecting much from Anne Hathaway, who an actress I don't like at all.
Yeah.
But I thought she pulled it off. I was actually very surprised.
Speak of the devil and he will appear.
Yeah, wow, this guy's great, man. All I heard was... That's how I heard it in the ghetto theater I went to.
Just say no.
Can you do Sean Connery as well, Todd?
Can you do Christian Bale versus Bane real quick? Like, go back and forth?
I came back to finish you off. I came back to defeat you. You came back to Gotham to die with your city.
Wow. Do Catwoman.
Do Catwoman. Do Commissioner Gordon.
Commissioner Gordon's hard, man. He's great.
So will there be no other Nolan film, although he sets up another sequel?
He doesn't, actually. It's kind of a finale that I think people misunderstand when they see the movie.
I don't. Here, I thought halfway through the film, I hope Batman does die and Levitt takes over for him, because that's what they were setting up.
No, that's close.
Batman retires and he turns it all over to Robin.
Close, but here's how I think it actually played out because of, I know Nolan doesn't really emulate anything, but he does take into a lot of comics into his storytelling. I actually think Batman's not the one that retired at all. Bruce Wayne is. Bruce Wayne's the one that's name is on that tombstone dead. He's coming back. He's going to be full-time Batman. Batman has won. Like he says at the masquerade party earlier, there's a nice clue. Who are you pretending to be? I'm pretending to be Bruce Wayne. Because in all the stories in the comics and the lore of the character, it's not his alter ego is not Batman. His alter ego has always been Bruce Wayne. Batman's the central character. I think he set up the kid because he realized in this movie, through the story arc of all three films, he finally came to terms in this movie with the fact that he has to let some people in. He has to have help. He can't be the lone wolf forever. And I felt that that was really hammered home in a lot of the scenes where he relied on people to help him, which he's never asked in any of the other films other than Gordon. And he didn't even ask Gordon for help so much as, hey, do this and do this so I can be prepared for this. So it was more of, you know, that was the only person he trusted was Gordon, but now he's letting all these other people in. I think he sent Robin this stuff and he said, come and meet with me. You know, I'm going to train you, but first, here's the information to the cave. Get in there, start getting your stuff together, and then I think he's coming back. He's going to train Robin, and it's going to become like a big deal, and I think Catwoman's going to help him out a little. So it's kind of one of those things. I think he's hoping to give her redemption and make a hero out of her as well.
So Catwoman becomes good, basically.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, we don't know, you know, down the line she might turn bad again, but
right.
You know, we'll never see it as Nolan does it, but I guarantee you there'll be a, you know, Justice League movie and more Batman movies very soon in the next couple years. I'm positive that
they've already announced a 2015 is the new Batman.
Yeah. Good.
I'm really hoping, though, that they don't do a Justice League movie. The idea for the Justice League movie was around long before the idea for the Avengers movie. But everyone's screaming copycat. And in all honesty, I would kind of like to see a live-action, you know, version where the characters are bouncing off each other. But
it's proved that the Justice League was around for a long time because they had that terrible failed TV pilot.
Well, that. But, I mean, they were talking about an actual film, and they even had directors attached, and they had storyboards going. And then they were going to – they stopped the live-action angle. They were going to go motion capture. They were going to go that way because they didn't know how – this was before CGI was huge. They didn't know how they were going to accomplish some of it, and it was really difficult. But now, of course, all that's changed, and everyone's like, oh, they got to do it. And, you know, Warner Brothers is, yeah, you know, maybe.
I'll go see it. You know what I love in the Will Smith movie, I Am Legend, when he's in Times Square and there's the Batman-Superman movie poster, the team-up. You guys remember that?
I don't remember that.
There's a little reveal in the beginning. It's just the Batman logo and then the logo next to each other, and it was like, you know, November or whatever. You know?
Yeah, it was cool.
Superman team-up or versus, you know.
But then, of course, we had to deal with all the bizarro fanboy guys going, oh, I can't believe it, I'm going to have to go.
I took it as it was a Dark Knight Returns movie or something, you know, like Batman versus Superman.
Dark Knight Returns is actually coming out. They've gone in and made this incredible animated movie. I don't know if you've seen it, but it has to be released in two parts. It's so amazing. And the artwork, wow, you talk about amazing.
I want to see a cartoon. I want to see live action. Clint Eastwood as Batman.
That'd William be cool. Hurt.
William Hurt.
I think
as
Hurt
Batman.
Would be great.
And, you know, and Bruce Campbell as Superman.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Bruce is a little old.
That's the point. Have you ever read The Dark Knight?
Well, I have, but he's even a little old for that, I think. Superman doesn't age as fast as Batman does.
That's probably true. What's the guy, Madman? The Madman guy would be good. He's got the face for it, the head for it. Big old square jaw.
Yeah.
John Hamm.
They should get Ken Wall out of retirement to be Batman. Aged Batman.
You mean get Ken Wall out of the Barbie twins?
Get
long enough?
What's he doing now?
I think he's busy living with the Barbie twins, or used to be.
Oh, I think Ken Wall's been out of the business for years. I think he got some injuries on some of the films, and he got addicted to painkillers and stuff, and it just blew his career, but I think he's alive and well.
I think there was an interview with him a few years ago. This could be back, gosh, Spy Magazine? So this is a while back.
I love Spy Magazine.
A while back, yeah. Where he was living, you
remember
the Barbie twins?
The Nose, remember that magazine?
I don't remember The Nose. But do you remember the Barbie twins?
Yes.
Well, he was living with them, with both of them, ostensibly married to one of them, but living with both of them, and it was...
Good for him.
Good for him. Yeah.
Charlie Sheen before Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
What, Todd, what are we looking at? This is the Movies Hate You show. We wind up talking about fanboy silliness, Superman versus Batman. as sometimes happens, because our producer's a nerd.
Hey, it's true.
Is that going to get me fired? I'm
no,
sorry.
I will wear that with a badge of honor, dude.
Todd, you're a nerd, and you're proud of it.
I am.
We all are, in our own way. But not as good as you are at it. I own a gorilla suit, but I don't own a Batman suit. That's my...
And therein lies the problem.
That's my cap right there.
I own a birthday suit. That's about
he
it.
Owns
hey, whoa.
TMI.
Are we over time?
Not yet.
Sage, you show. Oh, really? Oh, great. Okay, good. So we got started late. All right. So you are listening to the Movies Hate You show. MoviesHateYou@gmail.com. Thanks for joining us again. And stick around in the archives. Well, don't stick around the archives. Go to the archives to hear even more after we sign off.
Yeah.
Kind of a little bonus thing. Send us a couple dollars. We'll talk for a couple more hours. We are, you know, like old school entertainers. Yeah. Fill the hat and we'll talk. You wanted to talk about something tonight, and we totally didn't.
But we can save it for next time. It's
next time. We promise.
It's going to be timely next week, as timely next week as it was the day it happened. I don't even know what that means. But hey, you know what? Can I shout out, as the kids say, give a shout out to the guy at the Beyond Reality? Is that the show?
Beyond
yeah,
Reality?
Yeah.
That is our lead-in show, because. On Sunday, I actually tuned in to listen to our show and listened to the last 5 minutes of the Beyond Reality show, and they were talking about werewolves and shapeshifters and skinwalkers and all that. And I just
a skinwalker? Isn't that a werewolf?
Well, you know, you have to tune into the show.
Okay, I'll listen.
And they'll tell you the differences. But the reason I want to say that is I, you know, we do our show when we do it, and we leave it, and I don't even really listen to them. But we don't really have any concept of like what comes before us and what comes after us. The people, there are actually people who tune in at Sunday nights at 10 o'clock,
yeah,
just to listen to us. And and listening to the last 5 minutes of that show gave me sort of a feeling of continuity that we're like a family. That there's mm-hmm. people before us, there's people after us, and so just a shout out to those guys at the Beyond Reality show. That's all.
Shout out to the BR show.
The BR.
That's
BR.
Very cool.
And now, wait a minute. What about a shout out to the show after us?
No, I didn't stick around for that. I'm sorry, but I'm sure.
Isn't that a music show? Isn't that Brute Force Radio?
Brute Squad. It's not music. It's going to be. It's live on Wednesdays and replayed on Sundays.
Listen to me, Brute Force. You know, we do the show from Thailand because I don't even know the show that comes after us. So that's music or talk?
That's talk. It's a nerd show. It's about comic books and all things like that.
Brute Squad is?
Yeah.
Why did I think that was a metal show?
I've always kind of wondered why you would think such a thing. But no.
I always thought that was like a heavy metal music show. I don't know why. I guess it's that artwork they use on the website. It looks like something from a, you know, some band name Incinerator or something with a font I can't read. That art, isn't it like art of like a big like monster, you know, kind of, not a orc or something? I don't know.
Close. That's actually the comic book character Pit.
Pit, right? I remember Pit.
I loved that character.
Pit. Now, how much does the Pit artist get as royalty every time you use that artwork?
I wish a whole bunch, but instead, I just sent off an email and got permission to use it because it's fantastic, and we wanted to help promote it.
Speaking of royalties, I saw, and that was our topic for next week. We are going to finally have our battle. Over torrents and downloads, we've been talking about it for a long time, and
Lord.
We'll have a special call in from Pete because I know he's very passionate about the subject. But we are going to discuss, because there are some torrent sites that have been taken down recently.
Yay.
And Mr. Ree's very upset about it.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Ree.
But we're going to try to have a kind of calm and adult discourse.
Hold on, you're in the wrong place.
The nature of...
Yeah, maybe we should do it at somebody else's show, not this one.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe we should go to another station and do that show and then sell it to Todd.
There you go.
But let him download it for free, maybe.
There you go.
We're on his station.
And I'll play it here and I'll put a picture of Pitt on it.
Right, infringement. Well, you know, it's a very... It might take two shows to get through this. It might take a special live two-hour broadcast. I don't know. But... We're going to try to tackle it, and I was going to segue into it by saying I just saw a shirt that made me laugh, and it had the Dark Knight Rises logo, but instead of the font, the copy saying the Dark Knight Rises, it said bootleg save lives, or downloading save lives.
Too
soon, right? But it's an actual t-shirt buy for like $15.99 on the web. But I thought it was hilarious, like movie bootlegging saves lives. And it's true.
It's not true.
It ruins people's careers, and it takes food off the table of little children, but it does, in one or two cases throughout history, save lives. Now, I remember when I was a kid, I wanted to see The Warriors when it came out, but there were so many gang fights and stabbings and shootings in New York area where The Warriors was playing that I couldn't go see it. So I'm sure
see what happens.
Sure, there are kids whose parents will not let them see that Dark Knight movie because of what happened, just out of fear.
It's
just
bullshit.
Like, people won't go in the water after Jaws, you know.
I cuss because I can now because it's a whole deal.
That's like another Movies Hate You moment. It's like Jaws killed so many sharks. I think maybe Wong talks about it in that article. He might have mentioned it. I mean, if you remember, I mean, growing up at that time and being young when that happened, that was a serious scare for everyone. That wasn't like, you know, like I remember when my sister, who was older than me, came home from seeing Friday the 13th and the first movie, and she slept with my mother that night. You know, like she was so scared that somebody was going to stab her or something through the bed. It's not that kind of scared. This was like culturally, like mass hysteria scared when Jaws came out. Mm-hmm. People were literally not going in the water. Fishermen were going out and looking for sharks to kill.
They were idiots.
Bringing them back and to show them off. And that's the kind of power and that's the kind of hatred that movies have, is that they could really do something like that and really cause damage and cause people's interpretations. I mean, look at propaganda films from World War II. I mean, you could really control a nation. I mean, look at Goebbels and Hitler and the films that they had commissioned. You could really control people's lives through film. So I think we're always on this thin ice and always kind of riding this razor blade between what we believe and what is really not true. How was that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Make you feel better.
Psycho is another
Mr. Reed shaking his head. Make you feel better. What do you say? What was that?
I'm just saying, does that make you feel better? Do you feel better now?
Do I feel better now?
Yeah.
I'm giving a dissertation on mention of films, something none of your other film programs on the station do. I'm actually talking about the mechanics and the emotional juice between yourself and a film. I'm not talking about how cool it was when, you know, the guy got his face ripped off in part 3. You know what I'm saying, man?
I'm with you, dude. I'm with you sometimes.
You're not with me, man.
You're most of the time.
It's entertaining me because I have those pictures of you.
Well, that too.
The Batman and Robin pictures. Remember those from that little party that went crazy?
Well, that wasn't my fault. I plead the fifth.
Well, that's how I knew you had a tramp stamp.
Wait, maybe that Batman porno I was watching. Maybe that was...
I mixed it in with the Todd Sheets
webcam, yeah.
Well, these guys are cruising for bruisins, I swear.
Pow, bang, Todd Sheets. Pow, bang.
Spew.
Squirt.
Man, there's another... No, just stop.
Crunch.
Just stop.
Tight.
You dirty dogs.
Squish.
Something's got to be... You know, that's just wrong, dudes.
Big hug.
There's got to be some kind of a... Something in the world has to be sacred, and I hold that sacred. Just like I hold Star Wars. Don't be making Star Wars pornos, man. Get a job in a sideshow.
Little Orphan Annie's sacred. There's no Little Orphan Annie porno. That's sacred.
Yeah.
Dondi. Really. No Dondi porno.
Gandhi?
Gandhi. Gandhi lived his own porno, if you believe the stories. But anyway.
Yeah.
Dondi. I was reaching even farther back for a reference. Dondi. Comic strip.
Little Abner.
Depression era. Yeah.
Little Abner. I think Mandrake, the magician, is off limits when it comes to porn in my book. I don't want to see that dude's top hat come off, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, you guys are wrong, and I'm glad it's the end of the show.
It is the end of the Movies Hate You show, and yes, they still hate you, and but we love you. Thank you for listening. See you next time where we have our torrent battle. We'll see if it even airs.
Ah, ha, ha.
That's how volatile it's going to be. Mr. Ree?
Do they have the guts to air us? See, I like
that. Do they have the guts?
This is kind of a Batman cliffhanger here. We'll put a cliffhanger in next week. Same bat time, same channel.
Everything's spinning. Same Movies Hate You time. Same Movies Hate You channel. Next week, torrent battle. If Todd doesn't air it, I'm getting out of the business. Getting out of the business. Had it with the fans, I'm getting out of the business. You know what I mean. Huh?
It's terrifying.
I'll be on Facebook talking about it, too.
Oh, Lord.
All right, guys. Todd, thank you so much. As always, you are a gentleman and sometimes a scholar. Thanks for putting this together, giving us some airtime. Mr. Ree, Lee Peterson,
peace
the man
love.
From Japan. Thank you, sir, for coming in.
Peace and love, fans.
Peace and love. Hear
Take
you
care
next.
Of your phone bill, and the next time you can be back at your house.
you don't know how close to the truth you are. But no, he has some little 12-year-old pickpocketed him on the streets of New York.
Stuff happens.
Man, that's not right.
Yeah.
Damn, sorry to hear that.
Hey, listen, he had a choice between... You know, now that the torrent sites are shut down, he said to himself, well, I either have to buy these DVDs to watch the movies and actually do it the right way or pay my phone bill. So he went and bought the DVD so he can watch, you know, a commentary on some Kevin Smith movie or something. Who knows what he did. And he didn't pay the phone bill. So that's why we need to bring back the torrent sites so that he can have his cake and eat it, too.
So Mr. Ree can afford his phone. I see.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's a complicated web we're weaving.
It's a complicated web, those damn satellite phone things.
Wow, man, I'm totally understanding of the problem now, Mr. Ree.
Yeah, see? Aren't you glad you asked?
Poor guy.
It's movies or food. Make up your mind, people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'd pick movies.
You can't eat a movie, Todd.
No, but sometimes I'd rather have the entertainment.
That's bad and poor. You can eat that.
I will kill you.
I'm going to play clips from it next week.
You better not. You just stay out.
Oh, wait. How about if I download it for free? Will you agree with that?
No.
That's two wrongs Why? Making a right.
That's too wrong. If you're so against it, then let me download it for free.
Just say no, you crazy Dutch bastard.
You're saying I should pay for it even though you're against it?
I should say no to either. Just ignore its existence.
Guarantee you, I am sending you one. Even if it's a burn, I don't care. I'm going to send you that thing's going to be in your mailbox, and you're never going to know it. You never know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen at some time between now and in the next 5 years. You're going to get a package.
Oh Lord!
It's going to be mislabeled, and you're going to put it in, and it's just going to be Batman going to town, Robin right behind him. You know there was. You know, there used to be a zine called Sex and Violence. Guy up in Boston named Dave Dodge. He's still around doing film shows and stuff in Boston. And he had a whole bat smut issue. Xerox zine. And there were some gay Batman porns made in the Yeah, that's right. Riddle me that, huh?
Can't we just keep sexuality and politics out of Batman?
Diddle me this, Batman.
Oh, dude, really? Did you really do that? Really?
Look, if someone wanted you to go to a stag party in the Batman costume, would you go? And there was like a stripper there or something? Or
no.
What if?
Dude, when I'm in that cowl, you're gonna freak out. But when I'm in that cowl, I never break character because it is an honor to wear that thing.
I believe it. There's no like you're not gonna believe this. I believe that.
Do you never get curious stirrings in your bat belt?
No, sir. And you know what? A lot of people out there try to get you to break character, but I won't do it. I just will not do it.
He's like the beef eater in the beef eaters.
Yeah, sure. You can scream at them.
You can scream at them. You yell at them, and they just have to stand there with a static face. You get out of here with that nonsense, Todd. If I'm telling you, okay, if there was a gay bar opening in Kansas City, and they wanted Batman for the opening.
Mm. Which opening?
And they gave
sorry.
And they gave you $5,000.
Really?
And they gave you $5,000 to make an appearance as Batman. And you just have to stand outside. You don't have to even go inside. They just want Batman outside the gay bar that's opening in Kansas City.
No.
They $5,000. What, $10,000? They said, look, I'll donate $10,000 to your radio station so you could pay your hosts. Mm-hmm. If you come dressed up, come to the bar and greet people at the door for just 2 hours, $10,000. No. You really wouldn't do it?
I wouldn't do it because I believe in the integrity of this. Man, this character saved my life.
Wait a minute. Are you a homophobe, dude?
No, like, not at all.
So Batman doesn't protect gay people?
He protects all people. Gay, straight, okay. Black, so, white, yellow, red. Doesn't matter.
So if a little kid's store opened up and they asked you to stand there, would you do it?
Yes.
All right. So gays don't deserve Batman.
I didn't say that.
Oh, you did. But you did.
Batman cannot be a symbol of alcoholism, of the people. Like, it's not a bar kind of thing. Batman isn't going to be hanging out at a bar. If it was gay Olympics, sure, we'll have Batman do it.
Bars and crap like that. Where are the drug dealers? In the bar. They're not at the children's hospital.
No, but you know what? That's why he takes the bars out. That's not why he stands there helping them promote it.
Why is he going to take the bar out? It's legal to have a bar, dude.
I know, but it's illegal to be an a-hole.
Hmm. Not if it's a gay bar.
So what do you mean? Gay people, it's still illegal if they get sold drugs.
I think the Batcave would be a great name for a gay bar.
All right, there's a gay couple who opens up a smoothie shop.
All right. Batman will do it.
Batman will do it.
Sure.
Yeah. But they only serve gays there.
That doesn't matter. Okay. Gay people like Batman, too.
That's what I'm saying, man.
And he can be a symbol, because he is a symbol of integrity, honor, and justice to people who believe there is no such thing.
To every person.
That's right.
So he will help a black man.
Of course.
He will help a woman, even, if she's in trouble.
He always helps women. What are you talking about?
I'm just making sure. I just don't know where Todd ends and Batman begins. Now, what if... Now, listen to this. Let's get really going here. What if Chick-fil-A called, and they're doing an opening, and they want to give you money or free chicken for a month, whatever deal you make with them. Please come help us get some publicity for this Chick-fil-A opening.
It's Sophie's choice right there.
Sophie's choice.
I'm going to be of the mind of this. Batman probably wouldn't be part of any of that, and here's why. Number one, Batman ain't there to open a store or restaurant. That's the funny part. I mean, the reason we did this was to celebrate the Dark Knight. But if, for instance, Chick-fil-A was doing something to help small gay children who are bald in the hospital, then yes, Batman would do it.
Wait, but real Batman would never open a chicken shack. I know that, but you're not the real. You're Todd in the Batman.
Doesn't matter. When I put on the cowl, you got to become the character, dude. You got to have enough integrity to become the character. One time I was at a Six Flags, and I was so mad at a Batman at a Six Flags that I told that son of a bitch to go take the cowl off because he's a disgrace. This guy was shaking kids' hands, and he was getting all frustrated with this kid. Give me your hand. Don't you know how to shake hands? I was like, dude, go take the cowl off. You're a disgrace.
He was a teaching moment for Batman.
Teaching moment. He was an a-hole. He was rude to a small child.
This is like Battle of the Elvis impersonators.
No, because here's the deal. That little kid looks up to him. That's a hero. He doesn't know it's some a-hole that's getting $7 an hour. When he's wearing that cowl, that's a hero to that child. When I was a child and I met Adam West and he was in his cowl and everything and he was doing a big promotion for the Children's Hospital and stuff and they were trying to get raise money, meeting Adam and Bert in costume, they had the integrity of the characters, and I looked at him, and that was Batman. So when this guy's at a Six Flags, and there's a six-year-old sitting there, or five or four, however little this little kid was, and he's going to be mean to this kid, he's a disgrace. He needs to go take the cowl off, because this kid is looking at him. This is his hero. And the reason it's his hero is because, unlike Superman, who's a goddamn big blimpo, comes from outer space and has all these special powers, unlike Spider-Man, who's bit by mutated crap, Batman is you and me. Batman's a dude who happens to have some money, but also, even when he didn't have money, he went off on his own without money, and he trained, and he used his brains, and he became a detective, and he became bigger than a man through his own work. You know what I'm saying? So that's why he's such an influence to me and to other people like me, is because he could be any of us, and he believes in something, and he stands up for it. And admittedly, he's gone through some hell.
He couldn't get anything done with all of the money. Why is it that all these superheroes are all one percenters, you know, like Tony Stark and Bruce Wayne. These guys, man, it's like, I couldn't go and do that. I'd get killed. I don't have the equipment. Anyway, my point is that this is making me laugh. I'm so sorry. Okay, so Christian,
you know, you're 30 minutes over.
You're killing me. You're killing me. I mean, my mind actually kind of froze a little bit. Mr. Ree, help me out here.
That's awesome.
I think that, like, you met Adam West and Burt Ward. They were the actual guys on the show, right?
Yeah.
So then Christian Bale should have went to the hospital in Aurora in the costume, right? Like, what if it was just Burt Ward and Adam West not in the costume? You would have said, I didn't meet Batman. But you did.
Yes, sir.
Because as I'm trying to tell you, movies make the person the character. Now, you've never appeared as Batman in a movie, so you're not Batman. But Val Kilmer, George Clooney, Michael Keaton, Christian Bale, Adam West.
George Clooney and Val Kilmer don't count.
Shut up, man. You can't make the rules! Because you put the suit on doesn't mean you can make the Batman rule.
They had no... listen to me. Joel Schumacher is one of the few people that could destroy a franchise quick. Could anyone destroy one faster than him? I mean, the dude had no care about the characters at all. There was no integrity.
I think he did really good with the Transformers series, man.
Joel Schumacher didn't do the Transformers. It's Michael Bay.
Nah, same guy, dude.
It's not the same guy.
It's the same guy. have you never seen those? You've never seen them in the same picture together.
You're nutty.
It's the same guy.
It's not the same guy.
And Joel Schumacher did great with the Transformers. He knows exactly what people want. You ever see the cod pieces on those robots? That was a Joel Schumacher movie.
Wow, where did we begin and where did we go?
I have to say about this is we won't mention Joel Schumacher in my presence without me melting down.
This Batman debate sounds like its own episode of the Movies Hate You show.
There's really no debate. It's like this. I love the character because what he means to me, what Bob Kane created, he's a genius, and I know it's a fictional character. I'm not some freako nerdo that doesn't understand fiction and reality. However, it's what that character represents in my eyes and what he did for me as a child and growing up, how it helped me personally, reading the books and, you know, following the character. That's what it's about, and I have all this integrity. So it's not really too much of a, you know, you guys can go, Batman sucks, and I'll be like, yeah, to
saying
you, maybe.
Nobody's saying Batman
sucks. But I'm just
sucks.
Saying, if someone did, I'd be like, maybe to you, but that's because I pity you. But for me, I still have this childlike wonder and a little bit of hero worship in the ideal of what Batman is.
Mm. You know, no, that's interesting because that's the same reason I, on the weekends, Mr. Ree, you know this, I dress like Ben Franklin and I do like auto body shops and stuff. You know, no, seriously, we go around here. And Mr. Ree does a Rosa Parks.
Mm-hmm.
He dresses like Rosa Parks and he goes on.
I'm proud of you, Mr. Ree.
I sit in the front of the bus.
He actually christened a bus route recently. Mm.
Of course, he's going to get slapped in the face because you saw what happened to Ted Danson when he tried to impersonate Rosa Parks.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, the Batman thing. Yeah, something about Batman, right?
He's my hero.
Saying Batman's cool, right? Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool.
Todd, for the record, I'm totally with you. I get exactly what you're saying about the integrity of the character. I think it's cool. I'm not laughing at you at all. I mean,
I laugh at myself. It's okay.
It's silly. He's putting on a shtick. To be honest, between you and me.
Oh, I know because he's a turd.
But no, I honestly believe the same thing, and especially having kids, I see that too. I'll see that with. I had my kids in Times Square the other night, and Times Square, you have all these crazy people with the costumed characters asking for spare change, you know?
That makes me so mad. I go up and tell that dude, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to be there this weekend, and I'm going to tell that a-hole, take off the cowl, you disgrace.
It started in L.A., and there was actually a good documentary on those guys.
Remember it's that? Actually a great documentary. Yeah, the Confessions of a Superhero. What a great documentary.
Well, here's the thing. That was never, I don't know, something changed in the laws here, and they started doing it in New York City.
Yeah.
That was always an L.A. thing. It was never a New York thing. Recently, let me tell you, in Times Square, and he's been there for like 3 years now, there's the worst Spider-Man I've ever seen. Like, he's got the worst. His suit, have you seen this guy?
Yeah,
his
probably.
Suit is actually smaller than his body. He's like this really, he's like this 6'5 black dude,
mm-hmm.
right? And he's got this, like, Spider-Man costume for a dude like 5'11".
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he's got the mask over his head, but all you see is, like black neck. You know, it's like, oh, Spider-Man's black, you know? It's like, all these kids are, like, being fooled. And he's just, like, kind of a little pudgy. So there's, like, a little bit of a... And he just kind of walks around. He doesn't play the character. He just kind of walks around.
Yeah.
You know? But I've seen very good, like, there's a really good Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz out there.
Mm.
Like, really hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
There's some Smurfs out there. You know, there's a, I don't know who else. There's
Hello Kitty's
out there.
Terrible costumes.
Terrible.
Mario's
out there. But they're really bad. They're not as good. Like, I think L.A. benefits from being the movie capital of the world because there is some care taken
mm-hmm.
in how they even do their, you know, knockoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But here it's just like, you could tell it's like some ratty rented costume. I'm going to go out there with my gorilla costume and do King Kong.
Yeah.
With a Fay Wray, like, you get a hot chick dressed like Fay Wray, you'll get money. But the thing, the trick is, like, you know, Times Square is not, New Yorkers don't hang out in Times Square. We kind of walk through it. So it's all German tourists. So they go over and they're like, oh, we want the Smurf. You know, they take a picture and they try to walk away. And these people are like, no, it's $5. Like, they try to get money from them.
Right. And the rule is they're not allowed to ask for money, but they can say, we accept donations.
Right.
That's how they can get around it.
Right.
But they're always a donation. I'll give him my foot in his ass if he ever acts like that again in my presence.
Why don't you go out there and make a few bucks for the station as
Batman? No thanks.
Why?
And it's you know, the movie's so poignant too. And why, you know what? The show can't be 2 hours long.
Are we almost
talk about that again, because I think that movie's poignant because the guy who's like, you know, Sandy Dennis is his, like, somehow he's related to Sandy Dennis and he does the Christopher Reeve thing. Dude,
yeah.
he looks pretty good as Superman. He's a little too skinny, but
but
he looks, you know, his face is awesome. He just needs to beef up. But I like, you know, kind of his attitude through it, and I like the support he gets from his family and things like that. But, you know, I'm like, you know, it's an interesting world, and the guy that plays Batman needs to be slapped in the face, like, multiple times with my shoe. But other than him, I really enjoyed, you know, learning about the other characters. The girl who plays Wonder Woman, and she came out there to be an actress, and she's really pretty cool. I mean, it was just, wow, man, this is just interesting to see how these people interact and how their lives are kind of centered around doing this a couple few days a week to try to, you know, make ends meet. It's really weird, but I kind of enjoyed most of it, except for when people take it too far, and that the guy that was Spider-Man was just ridiculous. I'm like, dude, you bought that at a freaking Spirit Halloween store, you dumb bastard. At least get a decent costume.
You know what? You know what's really ironic about the whole thing, Todd, is that there's another Batman impersonator who's thinking about you or talking about you right now, saying, that guy got to get hit in the face with my shoe.
Not true.
He's a terrible Batman. He's a terrible Batman.
I'm a great Batman.
Is there a hierarchy of Batman impersonators?
Even other Batmen say, man, you're a great Batman.
Even the real Batman came from the cave under Wayne Manor and came up to you and said, that's a damn good Batman.
It's true.
Do people dress like the Adam West Batman?
There are a few, and they're pretty amazing. I mean, because Wally Wingert, who you guys may know from film and TV, and he's just an all-around great guy, Wally Wingert actually had the original cowls, and he'd commissioned to have a few of them made, so some lucky people got a hold of those. There are people out there, whole clubs that from scratch build these costumes to be identical to the TV series, and they've built Batmobiles that look just like the Barris. They go out and get the car and build it. I mean, it's kind of a hobby, and it's because, you know, they enjoy it so much, and then they go around and they do charity events and they do nice things for the community, and it's really cool to see people get into that much that they're gonna, you know, really do something to give back, and I think that's always the coolest thing about those guys. A lot of people look at him and go, God dang, grown man thinks it's Halloween, man. It's not about that. It's like, when I did it, it's not because I'm thinking I'm actually going to go out and fight crime, even though with the suit I've got, I probably could. It's more a thing where it's a promotion, it's a marketing thing also, but it's also a celebration of all things Batman. So when AMC just says, hey, Todd, come over, we're doing the new Dark Knight Rises premiere, we're doing a big thing, we want you there, you know, it's a thing where it's like, all right, I'd be glad to do it because it's promoting something I love very much. Like if someone said to me, hey, dude, Iron Maiden's going to be here next week, can you come down and help us promote? I'd be there in 3.5 seconds, dude. I'd be like, I'm flying, it'd be gone. Because if it's something I love and believe in, I'll get behind it all the time. If someone said, hey, man, Wild Eye's coming to town, and they're going to do this thing, can you help us promote it?
I'm busy.
You know, I would be there in a minute with my Wild Eye t-shirt on. Oh, wait, I don't have one.
Neither do I.
Damn,
we don't
you.
Have jackalope t-shirts
yeah,
either.
We should get some of those.
I got some of those. I just can't afford to send them to anybody.
You know what I also don't have? I don't have a paycheck from Jackalope.
Damn you!
Yeah. I'll give you mine.
Give me yours.
I gave it to Mr. Reese so he could contribute to the Gay Children's Fund.
Now, you know what I think would be great? If you were at this opening for like AMC or something, and then like literally like 10 feet away, like some guy grabbed a girl's purse or something, and you had to actually, would you actually go into action as Batman?
I have done this.
The crime committed in front of you.
I have done this, actually. I have done appearances where something weird happened, and I have jumped into action, and I have caught people. I mean, it was true. It's pretty crazy, but it's happened. It's happened before. People were trying to steal something, and I was doing the thing with Walmart over here, and people were trying to steal something, and I jumped in, and I caught them, and it was pretty freaking funny. I mean, they got busted by Batman.
Has the cops ever tried to stop you? Like, hey, don't the cops?
No, because I know all the cops, and they thought it was great. Jump, you know, what are they going to do?
Listen, buddy, you know, we know it's a movie. Don't think you're like, we got the guns, you know?
Well, the cops turn around, and he's gone.
He's gone.
Right.
That's right. It's like a ninja. He throws down the smoke bomb, and then all of a sudden, it's like he clips onto like a plane that's passing by with the little, what do they call those things? The grapplers.
Yeah.
You got it. And we're out of time.
Again. We're out of time yet again.
We've done two shows.
Over. Hey, you're listening to the Movies Hate You Show in the archives, the extended edition, the director's cut, if you will, of the Movies Hate You Show. So
aren't you glad you wasted a half an hour extra? Not.
We're gonna get you on this Dark Knight thing on the regular show. Thanks for joining us. MoviesHateYou@gmail.com. Write us a letter. Write us about Todd. What should he do in the suit next?
This has been the Movies Hate You Show.
Should Todd do an adult film? Should he fight crime for real? Should he just retire the cape? What should Todd do with the Batman suit? That's the question.
We're taking back your city, and we're giving it back to you.
Kansas City.
No one wants Kansas City.
Bane doesn't want Kansas City.
He doesn't want it.
Kansas City's kind of like that hole that Bane was locked
up in.
It
was the pit, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's what I feel about New York, too.
Yep.
All right, gentlemen. Mr. Ree, Lee, Ree.
Always a pleasure
to have you in the studio this time. That's why we went over. It's a special celebration of Mr. Ree's appearance in the studio. I've never met the man face-to-face.
That's right.
We met online in a chat room, about Italian zombie movies.
In college.
We met
in college.
Oh.
Met in a Bruce Lee chat room.
Yes.
We gotta go.
Stabs.
Wowie wow. Over. Right, we're way over time.
Okay, Mr. Wayne. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for producing the show, Mr. Wayne. Wink, wink. We know who we really are, man. Later.
Hey, we're way over time. You gotta get better. You gotta do better.
And this was that Christopher Walken.
Some walking. Hey, wowie wow! You gotta do a show and make it an hour back.
You'll never get this hour back. You'll never get your hour and 39 minutes back.
Well, you have yourself a great night.
Yeah, you too.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.
She's so cold to me. Always in trouble, never know why. She has two sides, changes her mind. And I just wanna get off this ride. Step aside, let the storm pass me by. When it's good, it's great. Side by side, she curls up up in my arms, everything is alright. Don't wanna kill these good vibes, still it happens all the time. There's no reason. I get denied. It happens all the time. It's a roller coaster ride. Thrills and spills so sky high. I'm so glad she's mine.